Good afternoon. I'm Rhonda Fineman, and this is the Healthy Options program right here on WERU Community Radio. Our guest today is Jack Halperin, who is an elder care advocate. Jack Halperin has over 40 years of experience in the elder care industry as an advocate for elder care rights. He trains elder advocates, educates community groups, lectures widely across the country at conferences, and has been a commentator on network and cable television and on other media outlets. In addition, he is a Senior Care Humanitarian Award winner. Jack Halperin is also the founder and chairman of My Elder. My Elder is an independent advocacy company which helps elders and their families navigate our complex healthcare system and advocate for their rights. He's here today to help us understand what healthy aging can look like and also to discuss the kind of advocacy that is so often necessary when dealing with the world of care facilities and hospitals. Welcome to Healthy Options, Jack Halperin.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You are very, very welcome. You know, I wanted to start with a quote that you have on your website. It's from Atul Gawande from Being Mortal. We all, many of us know him as an advocate and MD. And he says, our most cruel failure in how we treat the aged, we can have a question about what that means anyway, is the failure to recognize that they have priorities beyond merely being safe and living longer, that the chance to shape one's story is essential to sustaining meaning in life, that we have the opportunity to refashion our institutions, our culture, and our conversations in ways that transform the possibilities for the last chapter in everyone's lives. So yes. Yes. And tell us more about what that means in the world that you see.
Well, in the world that I see, what is happening out there in the world of long-term care, especially nursing homes and assisted living facilities, is that people who go into these facilities basically lose their identities. They lose their beings. They live a very regimented life. They're told when to eat, when to sleep, when to watch TV, what kind of medications to take. So their lives are, you know, very, very controlled. And that is a very, very, you know, depressing state to be in, because if you have no control, then you are not really able, you know, you lose your identity as a person and as certainly elders. And elders still have a lot to say and a lot to teach us. They're not just, you know, disposable and, hey, let's put them in a nursing home, shut them up, or put them at home and leave them at home with nurses' aides who don't communicate with them. So that is really what's meant by that statement. And that's something that society should be certainly fighting and making sure that these people do get to tell us their story.
So I think that in many, in different cultures, that of course is different. There's more respect, perhaps, and more recognition of the benefits of aging. Is I was just talking to a friend today who was saying, she said, when I told her what the show was on, she said, well, we all want to live. So we all dream of being older. But I think what that entails is we dream of being our elders being more wise and elders having wisdom and things to share. And, you know, on Healthy Options, all of our listeners, we talk a lot about how to stay healthy, how to keep our brains healthy, how to keep our bodies strong. But there does come a time sometimes in our lives when we'll need to interact no matter how healthy we then or will need to interact with some of these facilities that we're talking about. So there's so many ways to go. And I want to talk about the idea of the institutions that you have to deal with, but I also want to talk about the idea of aging in place. A lot of people are redoing their homes and perhaps to be more friendly. And yet, what about the idea of staying at home? What do you know about? We know people who've had people come in who, as you mentioned, don't speak with them or have been abusive in some manner or have taken advantage. We know of people who've been robbed, who have had have legal issues. How do you deal with that? Because I know part of the work that you do at My Elder is also to deal with home situations where people can stay at home. And how do we make that safe for people?
Well, certainly it's aging in place is the ultimate goal of every a person who's over 65 or who's aging, you will always hear, "I'm never going into a nursing home. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to get myself somebody to take care of me." And that's the way I'm going to live it. Instruct their children very strictly, do not ever put me into a nursing home. Now, that's great if you have a safe home that you can stay in. B, if you have a way to, it's not just about aging in place and staying at home. If you have arrangements to be able to go out and go places and go to museums and libraries, and you have the help and the person who is going to take you there, or the person who's going to come into your home, I suggest to many elders that they rent out a room to a college student. Okay, the college student needs to pay, can't pay his rent. He stays there with the elder, and it's good for both of them. They can talk, or he or she can take them someplace. So if they have the ability to meet with people outside of the home, that's a very important thing. They have to have a way, to get to their doctors and get to their physicians. Today, that's very possible because everything is about coming into the home. All right, so doctors come into the home, nurses come into the home, it's physical therapists. Okay, so if we don't have to run around, certainly, and get these people into the home, it's much better for their physical condition. If they can afford to have companions, people to do certain things for them, like cooking a meal once in a while or helping them with a meal. Unfortunately, all these things require money. If you have money, then all these things are beautiful. You live in a nice apartment. You have friends but it costs money. For most people, it's not an affordable situation. They get hurt and then we're talking a different situation. And they have to have a means of not being isolated. Isolation is what kills many, many elders, because isolation leads to depression. And that's that.
Yeah. So what we're talking about, I've read about this, about having a college student stay in your home. Of course, that has to be vetted very carefully as well. But Yes. And so there's the so there's the idea of, you know, I was also reading that there are less people having less children, and so there are less people who can take care of you as you age. And also, that's a hell of a lot of, excuse me, a lot of pressure on your family to be the sole caretakers. So you're talking about, we're talking about that the whole system is not really set up to allow safe family dynamics where people with children can take care of their lives and knowing that their parents or grandparents are being cared for. And you say on one of your blogs, talking about the economic disparities and access to quality nursing home care, even that, that there are just, well, we're going to get to the idea of when the time comes when even with our best intentions, we have to go somewhere, how to choose, how to know where to go. But I want to come back to this idea of still staying in the home. You were saying about bringing someone in, about having community, right? Having that kind of community. Are you seeing this? You know, I live in a more rural community. You're based in New York City, but are you seeing community senior centers or people advocating in that manner for people having a place to go or staying in their homes? What are you seeing in your
world? I'm seeing it works. Again, it is really a matter of money. Certainly, most communities have very dedicated and very well-run senior centers. Senior centers are great places. People get together. They break bread. They have a meal. They have speakers. They have entertainment. People come in to talk to them about things that they may need. Things that the government are, you know, coming up with constantly with new regulations and things, how to deal with that. So they have those services there. You know, once a while, once a week. Many seniors centers also have social service people who can help them with problems. But again, it's a small solution, and unfortunately, the government keeps cutting the funding for senior centers. And also, you have to be able to transport people to senior centers, okay? Some people, of course, can go on their own. Other people, unfortunately, have wheelchairs and walkers and stuff. They, you know, if they don't have a way to get to that senior center, then that's useless. They have to remain at home. But they're very dedicated places. Otherwise, staying at home, there are certain areas, and certainly not in, you don't have it too much in the rural areas. The rural areas have long distances, and you don't have the ability to have, you know, seniors visiting each other or getting transported somewhere. So they are extremely isolated, and they can't really get to any type of community life. So they just basically stay at home, and that's where the problem is. You do have groups. You do have voluntary groups. They do go around, and they do try to keep them as not isolated and not depressed. But again, there's great difficulties in the yes. rural areas. Are great places to live when you're younger, but when you get older, there are so many access problems
yes.
to good care.
So, what do you recommend if people are having, we're going to get to some of the caretaking issues, I'm hoping right now. But before that, if you have just tuned in, this is the Healthy Options Program here on WERU Community Radio. I'm Rhonda Fineman. We're speaking with independent advocate Jack Halpern, founder of My Elder, which focuses on the needs and cares of elders in healthcare facilities, hospitals, and their own homes. How would you recommend interviewing somebody or making sure that you're safe when somebody comes into your home? And I know that's one of the things that you focus on.
Well, again, there are, that is always something that's tricky. It depends. If they're having somebody who's coming from an agency, then certainly they are supposed to be vetted. Whether they are or they aren't, I mean, that is, these are the laws, but not everyone's following the law. So if they're vetted, you know, you have a pretty safe bet, and you should be interviewing a number of people. You should also be getting references. You don't want the references to come from the agency. You want to talk to an actual person who has gone through their services to see how, you know, what kind of job did they do? Did they do a good job? Are they friendly? Are they compassionate? Are they sitting and watching your TV and not taking care of you and not doing a meal for you? I would always suggest that it's a good idea to get somebody privately. But again, if you do get somebody privately, you have to do all the vetting yourself. There are on the internet, there are various websites, like most states have a Department of Education list that will tell you if it's a licensed person, if that licensed person is good or not. But I think the best bet is to make sure that you get references. And if you feel uncomfortable with a person and you don't seem to find a rapport with them, and you don't think that they're a kind, caring person, I would say, don't bring that person on. Agencies, if it's a good agency and it's recommended, then chances are that you'll get a good one. So it's like everything else. You have to a little bit of luck, okay? And there's certain things that you have to do to be careful. You have to be careful. Don't take them to your bank. Don't have them cash checks for you. Okay? Don't let them have access to your money. Don't say, here's my ATM card. Could you go and, bring me $300 in cash? Okay? Don't let them have, access. You have to, even the best ones, you don't want to do that. And if the aide wants to go to the bank or something and get you to sign something, of course you don't sign it. So you have to watch these things on your own. So it's really either agency or privately. But it can be found. It certainly can be found. Certainly there are some states, and then I'll conclude with that, there are states that have what's called CDPAP. In New York it's called CDPAP, but they're basically, if you're on Medicaid home care, they will allow relatives or friends to be your caregiver, and they will get paid by Medicaid for doing that. So certainly if your state has that, then certainly I would avail myself of that service. So because you'd rather have a young relative or niece or nephew and they can take care of you and get paid, why not?
Yeah, that's a very good point that you do have to do some learning about what is available to you through Medicare and Medicaid. Yes.
Well, you know, in that area, you should really be aware. And I know it's very difficult for people to be aware of what's happening, but there's a great site when it comes to Medicare. It's called the Center for Medicare Advocacy. If you want, I'll give you the email and
absolutely
you can, forward out to your people. They fight a lot of Medicare issues, and they're very, very informative. So certainly you have a responsibility to be aware of what your rights are under any program. And there are a lot of sites that talk about that. I talk about it. And if you have a question, you can give me a call. I will be very, very happy to answer your call. I don't charge for a call. Okay.
Right. Oh my goodness, you're going to get a lot of calls now. But we'll refer people to your info. Because each state is a little bit different. And, you know, most of the time, I really kind of get the idea this is going to be family members that are going to be calling you and looking for their parents or grandparents. And I tell us more about what you do as an advocate. I know you have a whole section about how to help people who live in a different state. And that's a big deal for what some of our listeners are dealing with.
Okay. Well, certainly you have to understand that the main thing which is to in this world is Medicare. Medicare is what sustains us if you're over 65. All right. So Medicare is a federal program. So you don't really have to worry about, this state having one set of rules and another state having another. So it's a federal program. Everything applies to every state. Now, there's differences in Medicare, one being the very, very dangerous Medicare Advantage plan, because when you're on the Medicare Advantage plan, you are no longer under traditional Medicare. You are working with an insurance company. Okay, so I will tell your listeners right out, they should never have, the only person that should have a Medicare Advantage plan is a person who can't afford a supplemental Medicare insurance plan. Okay? And if you can't afford a Medicare supplemental insurance plan, I don't know, eat less, pay cheaper rent.
That's hard.
do whatever you have to do to try to get that type of policy as opposed to getting a Medicare Advantage. Medicare Advantage is a very bad plan. But anyway, otherwise, Medicare is federal. If you have a regular Medicare plan, whether you have an Advantage or not, you have a good plan because you can go to any doctor, any hospital. You have Medicare Advantage and you're in a rural area and your doctor is not in that network, you're going to pay and you're going to get bad cash. But anyway, now as far as states are concerned with Medicaid. Okay, so the rules of Medicaid, whether you can get home care on Medicaid, or all those rules that apply to Medicaid are done by the states. So anyway, so you were asking me what I do. So I can work in any state, and I do work in all states. Okay. So if it's a Medicare issue or it's somebody being in a nursing home and they're having problems in a nursing home, I can take care of that in any state. If it is an issue of something that's particular to one state, I have the resources to work with that particular problem. Okay. There are other advocates around the country. There are geriatric care managers who can help. You know, I really deal with serious cases. I deal with cases where hospitals, you know, you come into the hospital and they want to send you to a substandard nursing home. You do not have to go. You do not have to go. You could stay in the hospital as long as you want. They're going to threaten you and blah, 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 blah. I'm not afraid of that. But the main thing is, you know, just don't listen to what they're telling you. Check it out with an advocate or with somebody or a lawyer or something.
Hold on. If you have just tuned in, this is very important. I want to go into that a little bit more. If you've just tuned in, I'm Rhonda Fineman. This is the Healthy Options Program and WERU Community Radio. We're speaking with independent advocate Jack Halpern, founder of My Elder, which focuses on the needs and care of elders in healthcare facilities, hospitals, and in their own homes. There are two things I want to go back to when you were talking about Medicare Advantage versus Medigap policies as supplemental. Medigap plan is part of traditional Medicare. You pay for it, but you can go anywhere in the country and get the care, any care. If you're on a Medicare Advantage plan, it's a private insurance company. They can say, we don't like this doctor, or we're not covering this doctor. You end up with bills. Your specialist for your illness is in Pennsylvania and you live in New Mexico. You may not be able to go and get that care unless you have, right. So that's really important for people to know. The other thing is, as we said, we've been talking about living at home. It gets to the point, and it can, even if you've made your family say, I will never, ever put you, please don't ever put me in a nursing home. There may be a time when that's necessary. And I think many of us of a certain age have seen that happen with our parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts, and maybe some of our siblings as well. What you are starting to talk with, we can start right at the beginning. Somebody has a serious health issue. They're in the hospital, and now it's time to go to a rehab center or some sort of facility to continue care. How do we negotiate and be sure that we're going to go to the facility that really serves our needs? And I want to talk about, I know that you do this. So you just already gave us an idea that you don't have to leave. Now, that's a radical idea. I don't think people ever thought of that. How do you deal with the pressure as what you would call a nasty hospital discharge planning situation? And it's real. Okay. It happens. So take it away, Jack Halpern.
It is very, very real. Hospital discharge planners, many of them are nasty. They have only one objective. Their only objective is empty beds in the hospital. Okay, so they will look to find their criteria. Their only criteria is an empty bed in a nursing home. They do not care about the quality of the nursing home that they're sending their client to, nor do they care about the geographic area that they're going to send them to. All right, their object is only get them out of the hospital and get them out as quickly as you can. Okay, you have a right to say, no, I am not going to this nursing home. I want to check it out. I want my daughter to check it out. I want to see it myself. We'll see it for myself. I want to see the ratings. Now, the ratings don't mean much in our world, but certainly a one-star rating is certainly a clear indicator out of a five-star rating is that that place is bad. So if they say you, they will say to you, you have to leave tomorrow. The law says you have to leave tomorrow. You have a discharge notice. You have to appeal to Medicare. All right. And so you go by the Jack Halpern rule. Everything that a discharge person in a hospital tells you, or in a nursing home, everything that they will tell you is a lie. All right. They will tell you, you're going to have to pay. If you don't leave, you're going to have to pay the bill and you're going to have to. Okay. And they're going to tell you all kinds of threatening things. All you say to them, and you do it very respectfully, because if you get into an argument with them, they're going to say that you are combative and uncooperative. So you say, no, my family is not going to that nursing home. Okay. Certainly, if you need somebody to say it for you, certainly I'm around. The way I usually do it is I take away the responsibility from the family, and I tell the family, you tell them that they have to call Jack Halpern and that you're not going to talk to them. But if you're doing it yourself, keep saying no. If they threaten you, ignore it. Don't sign anything. Do not sign anything unless you know what you're signing and you don't know what you're signing. So have an advocate, have a lawyer friend, have somebody look at it before you sign it. Do not sign it. If they're going to a nursing home, do not sign an admissions agreement. The admissions agreement contains really dangerous stuff in there. It contains an arbitration clause, which is very bad for residents of nursing homes. So you don't sign.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because they don't have you don't have a right to go to court. You have to go to an arbitrator, and most of the arbitrators will rule are friends with the nursing home operators and their colleagues, and they're connected, and they're getting all kinds of reasons, too many to get into here, but basically it's a bad idea. So just fight.
I want to tease this apart a little bit more. What about an ombudsman? We've heard of hospitals having, are they independent or are they working with the hospital?
If it's an ombudsman of the hospital, okay, they're useless. Okay,
oh my.
Because they are getting their check is signed by the hospital that's trying to that have no power, nor do the doctors have any power to stop a discharge. It's basically the discharge planning department controls the whole hospital discharge plan. That very, very, very powerful, but you just say no. And if they keep insisting that you go to a particular nursing home, you can call up the nursing home and you say, I'm not coming to your nursing home. They can't They can't force you into a nursing home.
Let me ask you. Go ahead. Yes. I just want to ask very, very quickly. I want you to go into this a little bit. How do you know how to pick a nursing home? How do you know what's a good nursing home? I know that things have gotten more privatized. This just happened here in Belfast, Maine. We had an independent facility that just became part of a group. I know that funding is being cut, and there's instead of a trained registered nurse on every floor, now there's one nurse for many floors. How do we determine if something is a good nursing home? And so we can say yes to that or no to that.
It is very, very difficult to choose it by, you know, unless you, you know, certainly checking Nursing Home Compare, which is the federal, you know, won't tell you much, but certainly the lower the stars, the lower the facility. And when you are looking at Nursing Home Compare, I usually look mostly at the staffing. All nursing homes in the whole country are understaffed, especially in the rural areas. So you really don't know. You have to kind of ask people what their experience is. When you go look up a nursing home, when you look on Google, Google does reviews, has people review. If you see a lot of bad reviews, that's a very good indicator that the place is not good. Okay? If you see a lot of good, glowing reports, and you don't see any negative, it's probably friends and family that are putting in those reviews. But if it has a lot of one-star reviews, Google, you can assume it's a bad place. But it's without, again, and I'm not looking to push my services, without somebody who advocates for you, without somebody that has knowledge of the, I don't need knowledge of every nursing home in the country, because when I look at the reviews, I know exactly what I'm looking at. There are many hidden stories in those reports that most people don't see. All right. And I will make the inquiries. But if you're doing it on your own, and many people have to because they can't afford to pay people to do it for them, they have to look at as many stars and to try to ask around. A lot of times the hospital will use this trick. Oh, our doctors work there, and we've had many people who've had good experiences there. All right. And so it's difficult. I would suggest to people on your show, they listen to me, that if they have time, they should volunteer in nursing homes. Okay, if they volunteer in nursing homes, they're going to be able to see what the nursing homes are like and what's going on. Don't be a troublemaker. I mean, if you see something bad and you want to report it anonymously, you could do that. That's a good idea. But go into the nursing homes. Many of them have the better ones, of course, have volunteer programs. So spend a few hours volunteering with the patients. They will love you, and you will be able to see. And if, God forbid, you come to a situation and the people there at the facility like you, then you have a good shot. Hey, you know, this is Julie. Remember, I was volunteering, all right? And they will, maybe take care of you. I mean, I've been suggesting that for years for people, okay? Because you'll know the bad ones from the good ones, you know what I'm saying? But it's very hard.
And so this is where we get back to the discharge situation, that if you're being forced into a situation, you get to say, no, you know, I happen to know that this is the one I want to go to. Now, do you get automatically accepted, or how do you be sure that you can get into the one that you want to get into? Well, that's the problem.
Well, it's a problem, but again, it's solvable. If you keep rejecting places that are just terrible places, eventually, and you tell them, hey, you know, this place is a good place. This is, you know, I'd like to go there. Okay. It then becomes an issue of what kind of insurance you have. Mm. If you have regular Medicare and supplemental policy, you have a good chance of going there. If you have a bad policy, then this particular good facility might not, you know, it does not want to take you because they get much less money from these insurance companies than they do from Medicare. Everybody wants Medicare. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, you know, you just keep telling them no and keep saying no, as difficult as that sounds with all the threats, eventually you're going to push them over to it. You know, we have to, let's just get her into this good place. And that's it, because she's tough. You could do it yourself. It's
hopefully you'll have a good advocate, whether it's Jack Halpern or someone else.
The best advocate for you is yourself. I just have to tell you now, if you do go to a nursing home and you do get into a nursing home, never, ever be combative. Don't fight with the staff. Don't let your husband fight with the staff, because if your husband fights with the staff, then you're going to be barred. The spouse that lives on the outside at home is going to be barred from seeing you if you do that. You know, don't curse at these people, and don't get into it. Write down what's going on. Write down what's going on, and go to the higher ups or to an advocate. Mm. You know, but write it down. Keep it, okay. And always check for bed sores. Okay, make sure that they don't have bed. You know, I mean, I could go on for hours.
Well, there's that. Yeah. There's also activities, right? And things that are people, that's important.
It is important that they have activities that are very, very worthwhile for 5-year-olds. Okay. You know, the good ones have good activities. The bad ones, you know, they throw around the ball. Yeah. They play bingo a lot and stuff like that. So you have to kind of keep yourself,
And also, you know, I know that that in the work that you do, you see all the problems. There are also a lot of, I have to say, in the interest, that there are a lot of caring and wonderful people who are working in nursing homes in situations who care very deeply about the people that they see every day and are advocating for them in their own way within a system that is very stressful for the people who do work there, and not always the best work environment. So we want to, you know, give a shout out, as we say, to the people who are also doing extraordinary work, even in difficult situations. So let's not forget those people who are listening. You know, a lot of people, when they're coming out of a hospital or have had some issue, may need more care later, but they say, well, you need to go to a rehab facility. And I'm also aware that a lot of nursing homes, in quotes, the care facilities are now doing rehab, in quotes, because of the money, that it's actually very lucrative. How do you determine that the rehab program that that's available will be the right one for you. If, for instance, if you have a pulmonary issue, are you going to, can you find a rehab center? Will someone help you that actually deals with respiratory issues? You know, if their specialty is low back pain and you're not breathing, how do we negotiate that? I think that comes up quite a bit in my clients and from what I've been reading.
Yeah, most nursing homes are rehab. When they talk about rehab, they're mostly talking about nursing homes. There are specialized rehab centers for certain things like
strokes.
People who have strokes and then have to go on an vent. In a lot of states outside of New York, they have what's called the LTACs, long-term acute care hospitals. These are supposed to be long-term. That's when somebody's been in the hospital for a while. But depending on what the person, what the ailment is, certainly there are TBI specialized traumatic brain injury facilities. You want to go to one of those instead of to a regular nursing home. Okay. If you have on a ventilator, they want you to go either to an LTAC. You don't want to go. Or they want to send you to a nursing home with a ventilator unit. You don't want to go to those. So, you know, if you can get into a specialized, but you really without somebody helping you out, they will send you to a nursing home with TBI, with dementia, with anything. They're going to make decisions for you that will impact whatever illness, and you will not get into those specialized facilities unless you're aware that they have those specialized and insist that you want to go to the specialized a facility. You might still end up in a nursing home eventually because there's time limits on those, but at least you will get the initial care that will get you into into a position where you can then, you know, function better in another facility if that's where you end up. It's very, very intricate and dangerous and control, and there's very, very little control in the relationship between hospitals and nursing homes. It's a very incestuous relationship. You know, all doctors, same doctors, same thing, they're working together, and the common cause is money and reimbursement. So
Yeah. If you have just tuned in, I'm Rhonda Fineman. This is the Healthy Options Program on WERU Community Radio. We're speaking with independent advocate Jack Halpern, founder of My Elder, which focuses on the needs and care of elders in healthcare facilities, hospitals, and even in their own homes. So you're really, it sounds like, for the most part, when you're getting into rehab and all of this, it usually is after you've been in a hospital. So that's why that discharge moment is so crucial. And are there rules? I mean, after 3 days in the hospital, you're eligible for rehab, or what are the eligibility once you're in rehab?
When you're in the hospital, you must be, according to Medicare, not with a Medicare Advantage, you're okay. But which is the one thing maybe with a Medicare Advantage. But regular Medicare, you have to be in a hospital admitted. Admitted into the hospital. And you have to be there for 3 days, or 2 days, 3 days and 2 nights. Yeah. Okay, but many hospitals are now doing this shtick with observation days. This is a very, very bad thing, and there's no real fix. But if you go into the hospital, they must inform you that you might be in the same bed as the next person, as anybody, getting the same care and be on observation days. But they must inform you that you are on observation days. Now, what can you do? I would suggest to you that you call your admitting doctor to advocate for you and get off his butt and call the hospital and tell them, hey, I have a patient in there, especially if he's a doctor in that hospital. I want him to be put on observation, on regular admission. Because if she's on observation days and she goes to a nursing home, then she's going to have to pay for the nursing home, at least Part B. This doesn't affect Part A. Okay. So, and the other tricks that I use are, I just tell the hospital, look, she's going to be in the hospital here. If you're going to put her on observation days, she's going to be in the hospital here forever until I could get her into nursing home. Unfortunately, that means that she'll have to continue to pay for Part B. It's a bluff, but there's no real solution because a lot of the information is on the Center for Medicare Advocacy with observation days. They're talking about doing away with the 3-day requirement, so that might help people. But again, I don't have a magic bullet for observation days, but again, we could fight. The more you fight and in a nice, quiet manner and say, I'm not accepting that, I don't want to be on observation days, I want to be admitted, I have to go to a nursing home.
Yes. So Jack, this is so complicated. How does a regular person who has never had to deal with anything, a family member who has to deal with all of this, it's very convoluted and overwhelming for so many people. Wow. And that's how people don't get the care, and which is all part of our healthy options idea of people being treated well and respectfully and getting the care they need, even if they're not able to do it themselves.
They are supposed to be planning.
How do you do that?
When you reach the age of 65, you have to start getting you have to make sure you get all your legal papers and all that stuff.
What are those? What are the legal papers?
You have to get the power of attorney, a healthcare proxy, a living will. Okay, you have to get all those documents. You have to get somebody. There are people all over the country who will help you plan for those years. If you have a even if you have a financial planner, he should recommend somebody who does just long-term care planning so that they could teach you. And I do it, of course. I only want to do planning, but I do everything that goes in crisis. But somebody who's going to teach you what the process is and know your conditions and know your illnesses and know your medications and know everything. So when you get into that hospital, you got an advocate who's there right away, or a person that's been with you, that's been part of this planning process, be right away there to see that everything that happens from that point. Okay, I just want to give you a quick example. My wife broke her ankle in three places.
Oy.
All right. And I've gone through personally what all my clients are going through. All right. So every single thing down to the last thing, but naturally they found out I was an elder advocate. So, you know, all of a sudden I was a big, big shot, but that wasn't the point. The point was that everything that I've been telling people for all those years, you know, for all those years that is going to happen to them, happened to my wife and myself. All right. They wanted to put her into a nursing home. All right. Because they didn't think that I would be able to take care of her. And why not? Let her be in a nursing home for 6 weeks. I said, no way, never. She's going home. I'll take care of her. And she's not going to nursing home. Quickly, they wanted to put her into a bed nursing home. So I'm just trying to tell people, you know, plan ahead. Try to volunteer a little bit in some nursing homes. Get involved in the community about nursing homes. You know, they're fighting poor staffing. Get involved in those things. Get knowledgeable. There's so much knowledge which you can't start reading when you're in the thing. And most of all, if there's one thing, you remember one thing out of all this thing is we're dealing with your life or your mom's life or your dad's life. So if they start threatening you with they're going to charge you, they're going to bill you hundreds, you know, thousands of dollars, that's not your concern. You worry about that later. Meanwhile, your only concern is to save their lives. All right. A lot of people do this to me. The hospital said I'm going to have to pay the bill if I don't go to this substandard nursing home. All right. You're not going to have to pay the bill because there's no judge in the world that's going to make you pay a bill because you didn't want to go to a lousy nursing home. Okay. And they said, oh, we can't pay. They're going to take the house. All right. He went to the nursing home the first night. He fell on his head and died.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I don't want to leave it there. The point is plan, plan, plan. Okay. That's
right.
It. I cannot believe we've run out of time, but I want to just tell everybody that our guest today on Healthy Options has been Jack Halperin, elder advocate and founder and chairman of My Elder, an independent advocacy company which helps elders and their families with their care needs and their rights in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and also what you need if you are at home and dealing with people coming in. Thank you so much for talking with us today, sharing such important information. Jack Halpern's website is myelder.com. He can be found on Instagram and Facebook. We have all sorts of information that will be on the archives. If you missed any part of this program, check the public affairs section and the Healthy Options archives at weru.org. Thanks to Joel Mann and Amy Brown of WERU for engineering support, Petra Hall for production assistance. And as always, thanks to all of our WERU listeners and supporters. This is Rhonda Feynman wishing you the best in health.